Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Hello, and welcome to the broadcast. My wife and I just returned from a wonderful trip to Israel, the land of the Bible. Our group was hosted by my pastor, David M. Hudson. He's the senior pastor of Riverside Ministries in Morgantown. And we were accompanied by a host of pastors from around the country and missionaries as well from several nations. The trip was beyond description. The land of the Bible cannot be captured adequately in photos, videos, or words on a page. I cannot convey to you how it will forever change you to go to Israel. If you can at all accomplish it, save, plan, make it happen. Take a trip to Israel. This was my third trip to Israel, my wife's first. Pastor Hudson has been to Israel, I think, some 14 times. This trip was awesome beyond description in many ways. Our guide, Ralph Levinson, was phenomenal, the best that we could ever even imagine. The trip's itinerary was flawless, and to cap off what would have already been a trip to beat all trips, was that because of the influence and relationships that my pastor, Bishop Hudson, has, we were able to go into the Knesset and meet with Professor Arya Eldad, a member of the Knesset. He's the chairman of the Hatikva party. We had a lengthy meeting with him. He's a phenomenal speaker. What a tremendous sense of humor. And he did an amazing job of explaining to everyone some aspects of the dynamic in the Middle East that are seldom understood. Professor Eldad explained things to us using an analogy, and I'm drawing on his words here as I explain this. Many of you, perhaps all of you, at some point has suffered a sore throat at least once and gone to the doctor and had the doctor to diagnose the situation as strep throat and prescribed a conventional antibiotic to cure you of the condition. Sometimes a patient will return to the doctor and voice the same complaints and perhaps even more serious than in the original visit. The doctor responds by explaining that he will have to prescribe a different type of antibiotic treatment based on the assumption that the bacteria in the patient's throat were likely immune to the first antibiotic. And the same thing is likely to happen if the patient returns a third time. But any doctor who has treated a patient by the book and has not seen the expected and hoped-for cure must stop and think that perhaps he has diagnosed the illness incorrectly. If the diagnosis of the disease is wrong, if a patient does not suffer from strep throat, the chances of curing it with antibiotics are remote at best. Now, most countries in the world that have demonstrated an interest in the Israeli-Arab conflict have assumed that the issue is essentially territorial, two peoples fighting over one land. That premise leads to one logical conclusion: divide the land between the two peoples. Yet that solution has been tested repeatedly in the 20th century and has always failed. The world's frustration regarding the ongoing conflict is growing. Repeated failures to solve the Jewish-Arab conflict by diagnosing it as a territorial conflict must lead us to pose the following: perhaps we have been mistaken in our understanding of the roots of the conflict. If the conflict is not territorial, but rather religious at its core, then the concept of dividing the land is destined for failure because it relies on a misunderstanding of the conflict. And the ultimate proof is Israel's battles with Hezbollah and Iran. There is no territorial dispute between Israel and Iran, but nobody assumes that Iran will cease trying to acquire nuclear weapons to destroy Israel if a Palestinian state is created in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. The Palestinian problem is not what drives Iran, rather Israel's existence as a Jewish state in the land of Israel. It's not settlements like Ophrah or Beit El that bother Nasrallah, because to him, Haifa and Tel Aviv are also settlements. The recognition that this conflict is not territorial, but rather a religious war against the very right of Jews to a Jewish state in the land of Israel, that recognition has not yet permeated the international consciousness. In the second half of 2002, a plan began to take shape in Europe and the United States. This plan was sponsored by then-President George W. Bush, and it was called the Roadmap. Subsequently, President Obama added that ending the Arab-Israeli conflict based on, quote, two states for two peoples, end quote, is of American interest. Israeli prime ministers from Ehud Barak's meeting with Arafat at Camp David through Ariel Sharon, Ehud Olmert, and now Benjamin Netanyahu have all adopted, in principle, this plan. What was 20 years ago a plan put forward only by Israel's extreme left has now become the plan of Israeli prime ministers. Dividing the land of Israel west of the Jordan into two states, Israel and a Palestinian state, has become the only political plan accepted for international and domestic discourse, and I'm speaking of Israeli domestic discourse. This is despite dozens of failures in trying to implement it during the past 90 years. Every failed attempt has been accompanied by bloody conflict or even war. And despite the terrible death toll, approximately 20,000 Jews and many Arabs have died in murderous terrorist attacks in all these years, no significant attempts have been made to offer an alternative to this failed plan. Here's a quick summary of the current plan being discussed. The main components of the Two States for Two Peoples plan call for the establishment of a Palestinian state in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, based on the pre-1967 borders. Israeli officials have demanded in various discussions that East Jerusalem and the major settlement blocks be included inside Israel, and some have agreed to compensate the Arabs with other territories within the Green Line. But the Jewish settlements outside the settlement blocks, the question of Jerusalem, the Arab refugee problem, as well as security considerations, the relationship between Judea, Samaria, and the Gaza Strip, recognition by the Arabs of Israel as a Jewish state, all these remain unanswered questions. Until the Camp David Accords between Barak and Arafat, all of Israel's leaders were united in their philosophy that a Palestinian state west of the Jordan would endanger the very existence of the state of Israel. Even Yitzhak Rabin believed that the PLO leaders said the Palestinian state can only come about upon the ruins of the state of Israel. Former Prime Minister Golda Meir was sure that there is no such thing as a Palestinian. The overwhelming national consensus today denies any right of return into Israel for Palestinian refugees. All Israeli leaders since the Six-Day War opposed the Israeli withdrawal to the pre-1967 borders. In fact, the most dovish foreign minister in the history of the state of Israel, Abba Eben, described those borders as Auschwitz borders. Today, some 320,000 Jews live in Yehuda and Shomron, and another 200,000 more Jews live in Jerusalem neighborhoods that were established in areas annexed to the city after the Six-Day War. The roadmap, leading to the Two States for Two Peoples solution, calls for the transfer of hundreds of thousands of Jews from their homes in Israel. This program puts the very existence of Israel in danger. The far-reaching concessions that have proven Israel's readiness have not led to peace, but instead have always led to disastrous consequences, such as following the failure of the Camp David talks to the outbreak of the Second Intifada. With more than 1,000 Jews killed by Arabs who were convinced that Israel was crumbling and would require only a few more blows to destroy it completely. Ariel Sharon did not believe in the feasibility of implementation for this plan. Quote, there is no Palestinian partner, end quote. Yet in 2005 led to a unilateral disengagement and evacuation of the Gaza Strip and northern Samaria. 25 flourishing settlements were wiped off the face of the earth in 10 days. Thousands of Jews were expelled from their homes by force, and these people remain to this day in temporary trailer home communities. But withdrawal from the Gaza Strip and the following takeover of Gaza by Hamas has left the central government of the Palestinian Authority in Ramallah and has actually resulted in an increase of rocket attacks on Israel from the south. The second Lebanon War broke out almost at the moment of Israel's withdrawal from Gaza and northern Samaria, because Israel had sent a clear message through the withdrawal that it is merely a state of cobwebs. Benjamin Netanyahu opposed disengagement. While he was head of the opposition, he objected to the establishment of a Palestinian state. But he has since declared his support for the principle of, quote, two states, a few months after forming the current government. Under American pressure, this prime minister also agreed to freeze construction in Judea and Samaria, and in fact, if not publicly, established a freeze in Jerusalem as well. For 10 months, a building freeze of unprecedented scope and severity to create a political climate that would allow the Palestinian Authority to return to the negotiating table. Entering into negotiations on a plan to build a Palestinian state west of the Jordan would have to ultimately end with Israel agreeing to most of the principles of the plan. Only a complete rejection on the part of Israel will render the plan irrelevant and bury it under the pile of other political plans whose goal for 62 years has been to bring about the destruction of Israel. So, in parallel, Israel should begin to introduce another approach. Even if such an alternative program would be considered delusional because most of the world accepts the principle of dividing the land and the establishment of a Palestinian state west of the Jordan, such a program should still be floated because there is certain to be a crisis that will occur following the next failure to divide the land, which in turn is going to result in another episode of shedding of blood and overall catastrophe, and then an alternative plan should become finally acceptable. The alternative plan should be based on the fact that the Palestinians have their own state already in Jordan, a kingdom in which the Palestinians are at least 75% of the residents, a kingdom created after the British mandate of the Land of Israel was divided in two. The plan should focus on resolving the regional solution by settling the Arab refugees in Jordan and other Arab countries that absorbed Palestinian refugees after the War of Independence in 1948. Setting up Jordan as a Hashemite Palestinian country will enable all the Arabs living in Judea and Samaria, who are not refugees themselves, to become citizens of Jordan. It would turn Amman's parliament into a parliament that represents the Palestinian people, and ultimately enable them to develop their own national identity. Any Arabs who do not take advantage of the opportunity to move to Jordan within the framework of refugee resettlement can be residents of the State of Israel, as opposed to being citizens of the State of Israel. They would be able to manage civilian affairs in their urban and rural areas, and such authority could include managing their economy, health, education, transportation, religion, agriculture, and municipal areas. Israel would exercise sovereignty over all territory west of the Jordan, receive exclusive authority over security issues in all areas of sovereignty, since Israel could never accept the existence of an army from another country west of the Jordan with airspace sovereignty and full control of external borders. It's a dangerous illusion to believe that it's possible to establish a demilitarized Palestinian state, as suggested by Netanyahu. From the moment it is established, there is no way to impose demilitarization upon an independent state if it decides to do otherwise. And once that takes place, the only way to recapture the territory would be by force. But the international community would not allow Israel to occupy a sovereign state when even Israel has officially recognized the right of an independent state to exist. The State of Israel cannot agree to pave the way to a contiguous Palestinian state consisting of the West Bank and Gaza that would slice the State of Israel in two. However, if declared, a Palestinian state of Jordan can grant full political rights to its citizens. Such a state, Jordan, is a state with territorial continuity and the ability to sustain an independent economy. The plan, Jordan is Palestine, is the only approach that can handle conflict without endangering the very existence of the State of Israel. Here's a little historical and political background. The nation of Israel was created and began to take shape in the land of Israel about 3,800 years ago. The Jewish forefathers, in their travels, migrated to the land of Canaan, mainly in the Negev and on the mountainside west of the Jordan. With the conquest of Canaan in the days of Joshua, the tribes also settled in areas east of the Jordan. The borders of the kingdom of Israel during the days of King David and Solomon reached almost to the borders that were promised in the book of Genesis. With the destruction of the Second Temple approximately 1900 years ago, most of the Jewish people were exiled from the land of Israel. The country had seen many conquerors and has passed from hand to hand. Romans, Byzantines, Muslims, Crusaders, Turks, and the British were just some of the empires that took over the land of Israel to turn it into their province. During this period, the country was always part of a large kingdom and was never an independent state or the territory of a nation that had its own national identity. Even the Arab inhabitants did not see themselves as a nation until recent decades, and they were not recognized as such by any international entity. The Jewish settlement in Palestine never ceased completely at any stage, even if it was weak at times. In the late 19th century, the return to Zion began, and the waves of Jewish immigration rose significantly. Overall settlement in the land at that time was sparse, and only included several tens of thousands of Jews, Muslims, and Christians. The land of Israel at the beginning of the return to Zion was considered by all to be a remote corner of the Ottoman Empire. The Jewish immigration and the subsequent development of the country attracted waves of immigration of Arabs from neighboring countries. Conflict between Jews and Arabs has been the main characteristic of existence in the land of Israel during the last century. At the end of World War I, the Balfour Declaration called for a national home for the Jews in the land of Israel. After the war, the League of Nations granted Great Britain a mandate over the land of Israel to the west and east to Jordan to carry out the plan in this area of establishing a national home for the Jews. The violent Arab opposition, along with international political pressure from commitments the British made to noble Bedouin families in the First World War, led the British to publish the White Paper of Winston Churchill, 1922, which tore away all of the land east of the Jordan from being part of the Jewish national home. Thus was established the Kingdom of Transjordan, known as Jordan today. But even this division of the land did not satisfy the requirements of the Arabs, and they brought in waves of bloody riots in 1929 and from 1936 through 1939. Each such wave of killings came on the heels of a plan to divide the western land of Israel and a new proposal to deliver yet more territory to the Arabs. The Peel Commission, the Woodhead Commission, the Anglo-American Committee, the Morrison-Grady Commission, etc. On November 29, 1947, the United Nations decided, at the suggestion of the UN Special Committee on Palestine, to partition the land of Israel into two states, Jewish and Arab states. It's important to mention that in the Jewish state, with approximately 550,000 Jews, there were supposed to live about 450,000 Arabs, that the committee suggested would be residents of the Jewish state, but would be citizens of the Arab state that was to be created under the UN resolution. Israel's War of Independence broke out the day after the UN resolution because the Israeli Arabs rejected the resolution unanimously, and immediately after the Declaration of Independence on May 5, 1948, Arab armies invaded Israel with the goal of conquering it. During the War of Independence, approximately 600,000 Arabs left their homes, while at the same time, the State of Israel was absorbing hundreds of thousands of Jews who were expelled or fled from various Arab countries. At the end of the war, the Egyptians controlled the Gaza Strip and the refugee camps there. The Kingdom of Transjordan, which had invaded west of the Jordan River, took control of Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, and the refugee camps in those areas. Additional refugee camps were put in place in Lebanon and Syria. Many of the refugees who could do so immigrated to other Arab countries and even overseas, the Palestinian diaspora. Those who remained in refugee camps were funded through the support of the UN Relief and Works Agency and refused to settle in the region. In addition, when alternative housing solutions and settlements were proposed by various international bodies, this population became the only refugee camp in the world that would experience rejecting any attempt for permanent settlement. It is in refugee camps throughout the Middle East that all of the terrorist organizations were born, and they have been fighting with Israel for 60 years. The Palestinian educational system in the refugee camps has been inculcating the students with the dream of return and the destruction of Israel and its Jewish residents for three generations. The Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, was established in 1964, 3 years before the liberation of the Yehuda and Shomron territories by Israel. Its constitution calls for the destruction of Israel as a Jewish state, and the organization's official maps show only one country, Palestine, that stretches from the desert to the Mediterranean. Anyone who claims that the goal of the Arabs is, quote, the end of the 1967 occupation, end quote, is simply ignoring the facts and reality. There are many who have incorrectly diagnosed the root of the conflict and who do not know or prefer to ignore the fact that for Muslims, the entire land of Israel is waqf, holy ground, that Muslims may not allow to be under the rule of infidels. And so, at the end of the day, the war against Israel in all its forms is primarily a religious war that cannot be solved by dividing the country and by drafting boundary lines between the Jewish state and an Arab state. The so-called remedy of dividing the land, the recommended solution to the conflict, relies on a mistaken diagnosis and thus is not likely to bring an end to the conflict, not a lasting peace. It is clear that anyone who offers a solution to the Jewish-Arab-Middle East conflict without solving the refugee problem is only offering a partial and temporary solution and is ignoring the fundamental reservoir of energy that allows the Arabs to continue the war against Israel and win international support. And quickly, here are some helpful facts regarding the political and legal status of the Yehuda and Shomron areas. As far as the boundaries of the Green Line, there currently does not exist an internationally recognized border. These boundaries came to be based on the ceasefire lines in the Rhodes Armistice Agreements of 1949, but they run counter to internationally recognized boundaries based on two conditions. First, countries bordering both sides of the line were recognized under international law as having a right to the land within those boundaries, and also, there was an agreement by both sides to work together to determine the border. The legal status of Judea and Samaria, known as the West Bank by the Jordanian version, could only be defined as occupied territory by the Kingdom of Jordan. Similarly, the Gaza Strip was occupied by Egypt. Both states claimed no ownership of the land. Peace agreements with Egypt stated that Egypt would be given the right to receive every grain of sand on Egyptian soil, but did not raise any claim of ownership of the Gaza Strip. The Kingdom of Jordan, although it found great interest in the West Bank and, for a time, saw itself as representing the Palestinian people, renounced its ties to these areas when King Hussein declared a full disengagement from the West Bank in 1988. Peace agreements between Israel and the Kingdom of Jordan, signed in 1994, do not mention any claim of ownership of the territory by the Kingdom of Jordan. Israel was the only authority in this area until the Oslo Accords delegated this authority to the Palestinian Authority in areas A and B. Until the liberation of this land by Israel during the Six-Day War, there were no Palestinian claims to a state independent from Jordan or Egypt, nor was there any political or military struggle for the liberation of land occupied by these countries. In the world as we know it, from the dawn of history until the present, political boundaries are determined by agreement between the countries. In most historical cases, such limits have been determined as a result of wars or as a consequence of them. The UN resolution in November of 1947 tries to draw the land of Israel's borders on the western side, but this proposal was rejected by the Arabs, who almost immediately invaded Israel and declared a genocidal war on the state that was just born. According to the law, any decision by the UN General Assembly can only be valid if both sides accept it. In the absence of such agreement, such a decision is not binding whatsoever in terms of international law. The ceasefire lines of the War of Independence were also not binding on the Arab countries or Israel, and it was made clear that final borders would be determined explicitly only in the future peace agreements between the parties. The Six-Day War was a direct result of the Egyptian army entering the Sinai Desert and massing along the Strait of Tiran, the shelling of West Jerusalem and shelling from the Golan Heights that was destroying communities in the Hula Valley as an expression of Egypt, Syria, and Jordan's collective desire to conquer the land of Israel and eliminate the state of Israel within the Green Line that was never accepted by them. Therefore, as far as international law is concerned, the line set at the end of the most recent war becomes binding as long as no other international border was set by a specific agreement between the countries, as borders have been set with Egypt and Jordan and Israel's peace agreements with them. Any concession by Israel of these territories was not binding under international law, and Israel would not be violating any law if it decides to keep all of these areas under its control. The land of Israel belongs to the nation of Israel, according to all justice and historical merit, according to the God of Israel's promise to the nation of Israel that appears over and over again in the Bible and according to historical rights, recognized by the countries of the world, by the League of Nations decision after World War I. The land of Israel also belongs to the nation of Israel because of what the nation of Israel, and only the nation of Israel, created in its country and has given to the entire world. The land of Israel belongs to the nation of Israel based on international law and also based on what matters most concerning borders of the world, the result of wars. The land of Israel of the British Mandate period, referred to in the Balfour Declaration and in the White Paper of Winston Churchill, was declared to be cut in two, with the overwhelmingly large half on the eastern side of the Jordan being given to Saudi Arabian Bedouins, the same kingdom of residents who today see the Hashemite royal family as outsiders. That British colonialism created the Kingdom of Jordan. We refer to it as almost sacrosanct, but it was fanaticism that was behind an imported royal family putting control of the Palestinians. And on the other hand, all the attempts by Israel to live with the Arabs in the land as a national home without an actual state, accepting the partition plan of November 29, accepting a country with a divided capital city, being a democratic state that grants equal civil rights and full rights without equal obligations to its Arab citizens, any proposal or method did not prevent the repeated attempts of the Arabs to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. The state of Israel, despite its military power, is treated like it has no right to the land by the Arab political entity, like a tiny country that can be taken care of once and for all with a quick military action, or is looked at as the tired Zionist entity that has lost the will to exist and the willingness to struggle for that existence. We have also witnessed the only national suicide attempt in the last decade of the last century, entitled the Oslo Accords, which didn't appease the Israeli Arabs, nor did subsequent proposals conceding the Yehuda and the Shomron and half of Jerusalem, not even the actual withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. None of these things satisfied the national aspirations of Palestinians. All attempts to divide the western part of the land of Israel between Israelis and Arabs has ended in war and disaster. The bloodshed has continued for 100 years. There is no geopolitical, logical division of the western part of the land of Israel into two states. There is no demographic logic, there is no economic logic, or planning. There cannot be two independent states, truly independent and sovereign, west of the Jordan River. Certainly not two countries with the ability to defend themselves, with the ability to prosper and develop, and also possess territorial continuity. Even if we were talking about two friendly European countries, it would be impossible to place them both in this space, the land of Israel west of the Jordan River, and create two sovereign independent states. There is no way that such a plan will succeed, especially following decades of educating their youth to hate and kill in Yehuda and Shomron under the leadership of the PLO, just like in Gaza under Hamas's rule, raising generations of terrorists, murderers, and suicide bombers, teaching them in geography classes about the map of Palestine, on which the state of Israel is nowhere to be found. There is no possibility of having two states side by side, mixed together with huge gaps in the respective standards of living. Not even the so-called demilitarized state, as promised in a statement by Netanyahu about the Palestinian state being established after he signed it with them, and the ability to guarantee Israel's security if there is a foreign army west of the Jordan. It is time for a different solution. The solution? Two states for two peoples on two sides of the Jordan River.
For listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.